This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. And now you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping when you go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code BAR20 to get this exclusive offer for our listeners. That's IQBAR.com, promo code BAR20 to get 20% off, plus free shipping. IQBar.com, code BAR20.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for the crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
You all good, Ed?
Yep.
Morning. Going bed.
Where'd you get all this shit?
These may belong to members of staff. Their children were made. Well, someone made them.
Some child and child.
Joe's face absolutely lit up.
The moon landing, yeah?
The moon landing.
The fucking moon landing.
What moon landing?
Didn't happen.
Glad he asked.
What moon landing?
Are you on that too?
Am I on that? It didn't happen?
Yeah.
It happened, of course.
Interesting.
The most recent one, is it? Be careful now. Careful. You're going to learn all about that.
Where'd you get this?
That's it.
Is it yours? My son's. It's my son's, yeah.
Not anymore.
The toys are my son's too.
What about this one?
That's, well, technically that's my daughter's. She says it's hers, but
I feel like a bad father now. My son doesn't have any
no,
fake moon landing shit.
A lot of time. I made the mistake of showing my children the Apollo 11 documentary, which is visually spectacular, and he loved it, and he wanted a rocket for Christmas, and that's the only rocket he knows. So I had to get him the right rocket. It's really
hard. So you
had
to 3D print it?
It's really hard. Well, I didn't. Someone did.
Ah.
Right, the moon landing, Ed.
Two producers.
Two producers.
Ah, oh, Jesus, lads.
Oh, you need headphones for the whole thing.
Oh,
there's bits. Before we start,
I got your presents.
Gifts.
Oh shit!
For the man who loves a hat.
And John McGuckin.
Oh my God!
Nice.
The man that loves a t-shirt.
Man loves a t-shirt.
It's all lies across the famous photograph of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon.
I believe that is actually Buzz Aldrin. Neil Armstrong is in the reflection on his visor.
Ooh.
There's only one picture of Neil Armstrong
in the studio with the green screen.
Yep.
Yeah. Says you.
Yeah, yeah.
Says you.
In Studio 11.
Will I wear this or will it come across like I'm a bit of a MAGA supporter?
It's all lies.
No, I think it's...
It's just a red hat.
It's a red hat.
Trucker cap too.
I look like a man from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Dustin.
Yeah, you look exactly like
Dustin. He has an Apollo 11 trucker hat on.
Can we get some tinfoil? Any tinfoil?
Put on over your other t-shirt.
Makes me look buffer.
It does.
I didn't want to take it off. Me topper.
Oh.
That's class.
Love it. Can I keep this, yeah?
Oh yeah, that's yours.
Nice.
Are we ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
All right, Ed. Give us some sounds there.
I think man is essentially an explorer. He's always reached out into the unknown, and if something can be done, it will be done.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Good morning. It's T-minus 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 53 seconds and counting. On the voyage man always has dreamed about. Next stop for them... The moon.
Certainly one of history's most glorious adventures.
Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 42 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Control, Houston. Go. Roger,
Surgeon. Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
Eagle, Houston, you're go for landing. Over.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Wally, say something. I'm speechless.
I'm just trying to hold on to my breath. That is really something.
Would you believe that they put a man on the moon?
Why don't you swear on the Bible that you walked on the moon? You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't.
Quite a lot of people didn't believe it.
NASA made a few phony moon rocks and came up with the stories of the astronauts. It wasn't hard to fake the moon landing.
We're all speculating. There's no way I know. But all this shit looks very suspicious. Like, mostly suspicious.
The fact is, for every ill-conceived argument that the moon landings were a hoax, there's a perfectly logical explanation to put our minds at rest.
Man on the moon.
Did you put that music in?
Mm-hmm. That's why neither of you could sit still there. You little toy astronauts. Do you want to describe the studio?
Yeah, you've dressed it with some toys for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We have a lamp.
With a moon. An astronaut holding the moon.
Mm-hmm. Sitting on a moon.
Sitting on a moon and holding a moon.
Two moons.
Two moons. Yeah. It's like a nightlight. It's a nightlight, yeah? For
it is, yeah. It's my son's.
It's yours. It's not. Well, it's your son's, yeah.
Technically, it's my son's, yeah.
Child's, yeah. Which is fitting for us, yeah. We'll bring in the child toys for the boys.
Toys, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
We also have a replica. I was going to say a joint replica, but it's actually a really tiny replica.
Very tiny replica.
Relative to the original
Saturn V rocket.
Saturn V rocket.
We'll learn all about that through physics and Jack Russell's.
Why?
Because it's your podcast, so I decided.
You like that.
To simplify it for us?
Simplify it for myself. So I'm not a physicist.
Instead of astronauts, it's Jack Russell's.
Usual disclaimer at the start of all deep dives. Do my best. Make us stuff wrong. I'm not a physicist or a rocket scientist. I actually failed physics in the Leaving Cert. So,
I was a history.
Better than physics.
Gardening physics.
Yeah.
I didn't do physics.
I didn't even do history.
So, the moon landing and associated conspiracies is our deep dive for today. Joe.
What?
In exchange for your good faith.
Okay.
Because the only way we always do these, we give like the official version and then the counter version.
The real version.
Yeah. No.
Joe's version.
In exchange for you engaging in good faith with the official version and basically keeping open the possibility that everything I tell you about that might be true, I will offer you, let's say, 5 bonus cards, whatever you want to call it, that at any time you can ask for, and I will tell you a non-moon landing related space conspiracy theory.
Based on what you're talking about or just anything?
In general?
I just have a little list, and anytime you want one.
Okay, whenever I get bored with the real talk, then I'll want me entertaining.
I have a couple of space things to freak Darren out as well that you can use.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have a
panic.
Yeah, it's in
space. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The moon isn't quite scary because it's closer than the rest that you don't know about.
Yeah.
So it doesn't freak me out as much, you know?
Yeah. It's a bit more familiar.
Yeah.
It's when we get further than the moon, that's when you start panicking.
When it goes outside of our galaxy.
Oh, we're a galaxy.
Where we don't know what else is out there, that's when it freaks me out.
Mm.
So the moon is fine.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of no fucking moon.
It's only around the corner.
There's Finglas and Kulak connections to this too.
Oh, well, you might be familiar with the Kulak.
Finglas and Kulak and the moon landing.
There's a good Finglas connection.
To the moon landing.
Well, to the general story of the moon landing. No one from Finglas landed on the moon, but it's interesting.
Not yet, anyway.
20th of July, 1969. Man, supposedly, lands on the moon.
Why did you say supposedly straight away?
For Joe.
Straight away.
Like the fourth sentence, like supposedly.
No, man lands on the moon. Neil Armstrong walks on the moon. Buzz Aldrin walks on the moon. Many would say the greatest achievement in the history of humanity. And I think this is the point of why I want to do this one. I would have heard that loads of times over the years. But it's only in the last few months I actually started looking into this. You know, watching the odd documentary, reading things. It actually was pretty brilliant. And far riskier and more dangerous than I would have ever realised. I always took it as like they got on a rocket ship and they flew off and they landed.
They were going to space anyway, so it's just a little bit further than that.
Like taking a flight. It wasn't like that. I'm just going to play you something now which will underscore that, I think.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. these brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery. But they also know that there is hope for mankind in their sacrifice. These two men are laying down their lives in mankind's most noble goal, the search for truth and understanding. They will be mourned by their families and friends. They will be mourned by their nation. They will be mourned by the people of the world. They will be mourned by a Mother Earth that dared send two of her sons into the unknown. In their exploration, they stirred the people of the world to feel as one. In their sacrifice, they bind more tightly the brotherhood of man. Others will follow and surely find their way home. Man's search will not be denied. But these men were the first, and they will remain the foremost in our hearts. For every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind. Good night.
Hang on. They were sent to the moon to stay there and die?
No.
Is that where I was? That's what I was getting from that.
That's a speech that was never given.
Oh, in the...
Oh, so was that like just in case?
No. It was written the night before they landed, I believe. Nixon speechwriter, a fellow called William Safire, he wrote it because there was a very good chance, as there was with all those Apollo missions back then, that they would not come back. Well, particularly this one, because it was the first time. There was a lot of things that had never been done before, and because of the nature of what they were doing, couldn't even be tested before they did them. So they had that ready to go. Now, that reading is an AI of Nixon's voice. It's a documentary called In the Event of Moon Disaster, and it was made...
So that wasn't even Nixon?
It's made... That documentary is actually made to warn people about deepfakes. There's a website you can go and you can look, and they have a whole video of him reading it and the voice, and it's extremely convincing, and the whole is to educate people about deepfakes.
Is that transcribed though, like that is actually
in
his...
That's exactly it is. Yeah, you can look up this, the speech as it was written.
They even made the audio shit.
AI, huh?
Nixon would have been good given an old death speech, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah, see him.
With Artemis, more recent moon mission, I'd say take that as kind of the Disney-fied remake. Like the Karate Kid remake. Very family-friendly, very polished. The Apollo missions were not like that. Very different. Edgy.
Mm.
So, the moon itself. Any
big
thoughts?
Big rock, innit? Yeah. Just a big rock floating around the earth.
Yeah.
The moon.
The moon, huh?
What can I say? It's up there.
It's hanging around.
It's doing its thing.
Slowly getting further and further away from the earth, and eventually will
be gone,
spin out of Earth orbit, and Earth will be left like a rudderless ship on the ocean of space.
Is that true what he said?
Yeah,
I think it is drifting away from us slightly, but
it used to be a lot closer, and the waves on Earth used to be like 100 feet tall because the moon was so much closer. And every year it goes around and gets a little bit further away until eventually it'll spin out of our orbit.
I was wondering, because I haven't seen The Man on the Moon in a while.
Is there going to be loads of stuff like this? Look, me and Ed looking at each other going, Joe's throwing out space facts. Like, I'm not prepared to fact check this.
Yeah, look that up, Ed. That's factual. Factual information right there. You are welcome. And that should freak you out.
That's what I was thinking. It kind of freaked me out when you mentioned that it's moving further away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the moon is moving away from Earth at a rate of approximately 3.78 to 3.82 centimeters, about 1.5 inches, per year. This slow drift is caused by tidal interactions where Earth's tidal bulges transfer rotational energy to the moon, pushing it into a higher orbit.
We've loads of time.
Yeah, and it'll spin out.
Yeah, in like 10 million years.
As moons go, it's pretty big. Most moons on planets in the solar system are much smaller compared to the planet. It's actually more like a kind of a sister planet. And there'd be no life on Earth if it wasn't, because Earth has to basically lean a certain way to work. And it's only because of the moon's gravity. So it's pretty important.
So what happens if, as you said, like the moon keeps moving further away?
Done.
Huh?
We're finished.
Done?
Done, yeah.
It's all over.
It's keeping us spinning on that axis, on the kind of sidewards axis. And when the moon fucks off,
will it just wander?
You're just wobbling all over the place.
See you later, like.
Be fucked. We'll be like that. Oh, shit. Be like sitting on a bus with no seatbelts. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to say, with that speech as well, the plan, yeah, if it happened, if the two lads couldn't get back off the moon, the plan was just to
leave them there.
Yeah, inform their families, do a couple of ceremony things, and then just cut communication.
Oh, God, Jesus. That'd be so sad, wouldn't it?
Leave them to whatever decision they made.
Oh.
Yeah.
People have been obsessed with the moon since the very beginning. It's like cave paintings of the moon from like 15,000 years ago. And every religion, pagan religion, all Greeks, Chinese, everything. Everyone had like moon gods and so on. Christians, who never had a moon god, he couldn't worship things like that, but still very important. God supposedly created the moon on the fourth day to protect people at night. The first record of someone writing about the moon was a Syrian writer called Lucian. He had a story about a fight between the armies of the moon and the sun, and the people of the moon were all men. They had removable eyes and they sweated milk.
Oh,
this is what you got in your books in 2nd century Syria. obviously, the idea of going to the moon was just ridiculous, because we could climb mountains, we could cross oceans, could do all these advancements, but you can't leave your own planet. And it was seen, even into the 20th century, like the moon was seen as like the border between humans and heaven, basically. Like, it's another world. It's completely removed from us.
It was the final frontier. Yeah? No?
Mm?
Mm.
No? No.
People claimed they had seen stuff on the moon. There was the Great Moon Hoax in 1835. There was a paper in New York called The Sun. And over 6 days, they told a story of an astronomer who had built the biggest telescope in history. And the paper reported across this whole week that this astronomer had seen mini zebras, unicorns, beavers without tails, people with bat wings building these grand temples. The writer claimed he never intended for anyone to believe a word of it, but everybody believed.
I thought he was going to be smoking some weed.
The New York Times said it seemed plausible. And there were Christian missionaries. But before the week was over, there were Christian missionaries planning missionary trips to the moon.
So how the fuck would they get there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the wings of an angel.
Yeah.
A big catapult.
Big slingshot.
In 1903, which is only 60 years before we're talking about space travel, really. Less, really.
Less.
The Wright brothers.
69, sorry.
The Wright brothers invent their plane. Made of wood and paper, basically. They fly it for 12 seconds, go 36 metres.
They get too much credit. That's a Red Bull air race. That's what that is.
Yeah.
They don't deserve the credit, I guess.
I wanted to look that one up just to kind of get an idea of the time frame. But while I did, I found this, right? You know the way there's like these tiny moments of history where if something had gone slightly differently, everything after could be the opposite.
Mm.
The Wright brothers may not have ever invented the plane if the older Wright brother, Wilbur's his name, if he hadn't had his teeth knocked out in a childhood ice hockey game by a man who would go on to become a serial killer.
What?
Oliver Crook Hall was his name. They live in the same area. They're playing ice hockey. Oliver knocked out Wilbur's front teeth. And Wilbur was very shaken up by it. Ended up becoming a bit of a recluse, dropped out of school and all this. He was just traumatized by it in some way. But he was supposed to go to Yale to do something very different with his life. But he didn't. He became this shut-in. And then with his brother, he started up a bicycle repair shop. Through working with them every day, they got this idea about flying machines. And
as you do. We all think that.
Yeah.
I feel like if they didn't think of it, somebody else would have. I feel like it's a natural progression.
How did that have anything to do with him coming up with that idea because his teeth were knocked out?
I'll just explain that to you. Did anyone else pick it up?
Yeah.
He didn't want to go to school and he became a recluse. And He could have been a contender. He could have been somebody, but so he decided.
Just, like, because he was a recluse, he just thought, oh, I want to build a plane. He could have talked about that at any time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He wouldn't have to be a recluse. He could have been on the, I don't know what they had back then.
He didn't have to be.
He could be just sitting down somewhere and just being like fucking thought the same thing.
Well, it turned out that he had to work in the bike shop to start thinking about making a plane. And he had to become a recluse to work in the bike shop.
Okay.
And he had to lose his teeth to become a recluse.
Fair.
Because they cycled the plane, didn't they? Cycle the first plane? I think they pedalled it off. a hill. He became a recluse and started peddling himself.
As you do.
As you, what else are you going to do when you're a recluse?
The best of us.
First transatlantic flight, 1927. First jet engine, 1941. First commercial
hang on,
jet
hang
travel.
Hang on. There was someone flew transatlantic before there was a jet plane. Did they cycle across the Atlantic?
Propeller.
Yeah, but what's a propeller? Propeller's
petrol.
Oh, okay.
The questions like that are going to get us out of our depth.
Right. Sorry. Gotcha. Gotcha.
And in 1952, the first commercial jet travel. Not the first commercial plane travel, but jet travel. So what is completely the standard now? 1952.
Fast track.
It's only 17 years before the moon landing. Just on the whole thing of the moon being a god, there was a Greek philosopher. Anaxagoras. There you go. He said it wasn't a god. He said it was a rock.
What, the moon?
Yeah.
So he was saying it's a god.
Everyone else in Greece in the 5th century. 5th century BC.
What type of god, though?
Moon god, I guess.
What did it do? What did they think the moon god did?
People generally thought the moon god was in charge of growing the crops, you know, protecting people at night.
You are very wrong about
imagine
that.
Imagine he came out with a statement like that.
Controlling our minds.
Yeah. I think there's a moon god.
Well, everyone was saying that until relatively recently in human history.
I didn't know that.
Even lunatic, the word lunatic, lunar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because people believed the moon controlled and our minds and our moods.
And you were ticks.
Lulas.
Yeah, lulatic.
Anyway, he was put on trial because it was blasphemy to say the moon was a rock.
Who was? Oh, the fella.
Anaxagoras. And he was exiled.
He was put on trial.
He was exiled and he starved to death.
Because he said the moon was a rock.
Because he said the moon was a rock.
And it wasn't a god.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Wait, but
what do you think of that? What do you, like, is that?
I think it would seem crazy if everyone thought the moon was a god. And I mean, who is he to say that it was a rock? A big rock?
He would seem crazy to say it's a rock.
Yeah, you'd be like, what do you mean it's a fucking rock? It's obviously a god, you tick.
You mad bastard.
Get it, lock him up. It's a bleeding rock. The size of that. Look at the size of it.
They'd
look crazy. They would look crazy.
Even as recently as the 1930s and 40s, if you talked about going to the moon, you were seen as a bit odd. It wasn't really. It wasn't the thing serious people should be talking about.
I'm going to go to the moon one day. Like that. I don't think so.
There were some scientists who believe it might be possible, but if they ever wanted to write about it, they'd have to use a fake name because they'd probably lose their job. It's like, you know, he's talking about the moon. It was not like, if you talked about space travel, people thought you were watching too much Buck Rogers.
Really?
And that's actually, I think, what they would use like as an insult if anyone brought up like eyes on about the Buck Rogers stuff, just to shut them up.
So when was Buck Rogers made?
He's gone off the deep end again. Talking about going on the moon.
So they were talking about moon and space travel in cartoons and shit.
Yeah, but it was
pure fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was completely impossible. And at the time it was technically impossible because there was no machine engine or anything that could possibly work outside of Earth. Until the Nazis.
Oh, are we going to get to nuclear energy?
Nope.
No? Okay. Okay.
I think my head would explode if we start talking about that as well.
There were people who talked about using nuclear engines to go to Mars.
Isn't that like a hydrogen bomb? Are they not just big gigantic hydrogen bombs?
Basically is a bomb, yeah.
That's nuclear.
No, it's not.
It's the nucleus of a hydrogen atom. They had to explode. It's like a nuclear bomb.
Everything has atoms.
Yeah, but that's the
Ed.
What am I looking up?
Just play.
No, don't look that up. Don't
is a hydrogen bomb a nuclear bomb?
Like intercept here on my behalf.
I'm looking up flights so I can just get out of here.
Right. The V2 rocket.
The V2.
The Nazis had the V2 rocket.
Okay.
Devastated Britain in particular. It could go 2/3 of the way through the atmosphere. Basically, could almost get into space. Impossible to stop. I think it went at the speed of sound. I probably should have looked that up. Very effective at blowing places up. It was built in an underground factory in Germany by concentration camp prisoners. 20,000 people died while they're making it.
They should have just left a wire loose or something like.
Well, people were accused of sabotage and being spies, and they were just taken off and killed on the spot.
Okay, you'd be afraid then.
It was thought up, built, all overlooked by one man. Werner von Braun was his name, and it changed pretty much the whole course of how people looked at possible space travel. It was still, you know, kind of childish to be talking about it, but it was a little less silly. So you gradually get, you know, serious magazines that write the odd article about it. In the US and Soviet Union, after World War II, they started looking into it a bit more, you know. And the Cold War, the nukes are now on the table since, you know, the Americans dropped one and everyone's afraid. And it's like, well, we got to get to space, because if we don't get there, they'll get there. And what will they do when they're up there? They'll shoot a nuke at us.
That's not what he was saying.
From space.
That's
from
what the they're moon.
Is that what you were saying? They're going to set up a nuclear
I actually have something on that too. Okay. There was, no, but there was a fear that, like, if the Russians have master satellites and space travel, they'll just drop nukes on us from space.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So we'll get there first. Did they bring nukes with them?
No. Where?
To the moon.
Neil and the boys.
They didn't bring a nuke to the moon.
No.
Disappointing.
1953 is a big moment of changes. Walt Disney has a new theme park called Tomorrowland. He wants to promote it. So he says, we'll make some TV specials on, like, cutting edge technology. He does a couple on space travel. It's very much positioned as being the anti-Buck Rogers kind of thing. Has a huge influence on public opinion. President Eisenhower ends up asking for it to be shown to all the top heads of the Pentagon. Because...
What, Tomorrowland? He brought everyone in the FBI and the CIA to Disneyland.
No. Well, lads, when you see this fucking thing, man, we're going to space.
The program to sell tickets to Tomorrowland, and one of them about space travel, which explains how space travel might be possible and how you might be able to develop a rocket to get to space. That has a huge influence, because suddenly it's not cartoons, it's actual science being explained. And it was hosted by a very kindly, almost grandfather type figure, very good at rockets, knew his rockets, employee of NASA, strong German accent, Wernher von Braun.
We know him, don't we?
The man who built the Nazi V2 rocket.
Oh.
And who was in charge of the factory where some 20,000 people were killed during the making of his rockets. Which he'd later say, you had no choice but to be a Nazi. There are questions about that, because he kind of joined before he didn't have a choice. And also he claimed he never saw.
He joined when the Nazis were good.
Yeah, he joined when the Nazis were winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he claimed, oh, I didn't know what was going on. I was nowhere near all that stuff. But supposedly he would have just have to been completely blind and deaf to have not realised what was happening in his underground factory. So after World War II, as it's clear, the Nazis have lost all the scientists, Leggett. And most of them run west to try and meet the American troops, get taken by them. He would later claim he did this kind of because he thought it was the morally right thing to do. If we scientists who know all about these great rockets are going to put them in someone else's hands, it should be the Americans, not those awful Soviets. Probably more true that they knew the Soviets treated German prisoners horrifically.
But so this was in the 40s. This was 45. We're talking like 20 odd years before the rocket, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Von Braun.
Then there's a thing called Operation Paperclip, where they get all these Nazi scientists and bring them over to America to have them work on all sorts of stuff, including rockets. And then it all changes in one day in 1957.
The epical scientific achievement by Soviet Russia in beating the United States of America in the race to launch the first man-made moon has all humanity staring heavenward. For the miracle here simulated may have more profound implications than we mortals are ordinarily called on to grasp at once.
Until 2 days ago, that sound had never been heard on this Earth. It's a report from man's farthest frontier, the radio signal transmitted by the Soviet Sputnik, the first man-made satellite as it passed over New York earlier today.
Did you admire the Russians for doing it or not?
No, definitely not. I said we should have been the first ones to have it, if there's such thing.
The first ones.
We fear this. We fear that they have something out that majority of the people don't know about.
Can I get a sausage and mushroom
pizza? What do you think about America
pizza?
Not being able to do the same?
If I was in military service and fell down on a job like that, I could stand a court-martial. Somebody's fallen down on a job, badly.
Aye, aye.
No, it was real. No, don't.
Bugs Bunny was not happy about
really
that.
Really talked about that. She talked like that.
No, aye, aye, triggered there.
No, people weren't happy, people were scared.
So the Soviets are the Russians. So the Russians sent a satellite into orbit.
Yep,
Earth.
Sputnik, little metal.
First
ever satellite, yeah. Went around and around, this beeping sound. People in America were terrified.
If that wasn't a thing, you're seeing it now, you'd shit yourself.
See, what the fuck are they doing? Now you can see Starlink going around if you look at night time. It's pretty crazy. You can see Starlink just going by.
But imagine the idea of a satellite was impossible yesterday.
Yeah.
Suddenly Starlink is there.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
And if you're worried whoever was controlling Starlink might drop a nuke on you, which was pretty much the first reaction. Like that second voice there said, we fear it.
The Americans were really paranoid about that.
Ah, yeah.
They were really paranoid about the Soviets.
Yeah.
Did you say did that say the satellite was going over New York?
Mm. Well, it just orbited the Earth.
Okay.
For a while. They followed it up with a sequel that was better than the original.
Sputnik the second?
Yeah, with a dog inside. I mean, better from entertainment and, you know.
I know that from, there's pictures of that and stuff, isn't there?
Like, yep.
Yeah.
Laika was her name.
Laika, yeah.
He was a stray dog.
Should that, the Ireland Eurovision song was called Laika. It's about the dog.
Oh.
That's what the song was about.
Didn't know.
This year.
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah, this year's, well, like last year's entry was about Laika. The
Madonna wrote a song as well.
About Laika the dog?
Yeah, Laika Virgin.
Ooh.
Okay.
That was good, no?
Aye?
That was fucking good.
I'd say it was out of this world.
It's better than that, anyway.
I'll tell you what.
So America are falling pretty far behind. They have their own goat. They have the big Vanguard rocket, they call it. Like, all right, this is it. We're going to show we can.
Did they have a sponsored rocket? Was it sponsored by Vanguard? Which is called Vanguard?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they gave all the rockets names, yeah.
Coca-Cola on the side of it and everything.
Pepsi. So it's a big launch, big publicity and all that. And it starts up. And it starts to fall over and then it falls over. Just explodes.
What falls over?
The Vanguard rocket. Their big strike back at the Russians. It just fell over and exploded straight away.
Stupid Americans.
People were calling it Flopnik. So they're miles behind. Soviets are like sending out satellites, all sorts of stuff.
They're ruling the roost.
They are. They're miles ahead. And space was still a bit of a mystery, which led to people imagining all sorts of stuff. There was two psychiatrists who worked for NASA, like at the very start of NASA. And they put together a report where they hadn't hired any astronauts at this stage. And they put together a report that said, we're very concerned that anyone who applies to be an astronaut is a sexual deviant with a death wish.
Yeah, well, in fairness.
Mm.
Getting horny over the moon.
It's a very phallic instrument.
Yeah, they feared they'd use fast airplanes to assuage their sexual inadequacies.
Oh, Jesus.
Why would they even think that?
I don't know, because they didn't. Just were guessing. Things a lot of guessing going on.
But you'd have to be kind of suicidal. It's a death wish. No one's ever done it before, other than a dog.
Mm.
Or a monkey. Did someone send a monkey up?
The
dog died, like?
The first dog died, yeah.
Like it.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. Aww.
I know you're not sad.
Aww.
Around the same time, there's a thing called Project Horizon at the US Army. I think the CIA were involved as well. They thought about putting nukes on the moon, building an underground base on the moon. They considered nuking the moon itself to scare the Russians.
Getting ahead of themselves a bit, aren't they?
Like, if we nuke it, they'll be able to see it. They'll shit themselves.
Why would you even have a thought like that?
You gotta nuke something.
The Americans was like the worst country to have a nuclear weapon. Like, they just wanted to nuke everything. We have it now. Let's just fucking nuke the moon. What are you going to get out of nuking the moon? What did the moon do?
Nothing. Chilling, like.
Then the Russians put a man in space. Yuri Gagarin, like, this is bad now. America's really falling apart behind. America do, not too long after, they sent a man up to space, but for 15 minutes. Gagarin was going around the Earth for a while. There's always the chance he wasn't the first time they tried.
Can I come down
nobody
now?
Nobody ever heard about it.
No. Oh, stay up there a little bit longer. Do another lap. Go on. Oh.
Sorry. Gagarin.
The child. I'm the childishness has
America's came fallen, out. America's fallen behind.
And it's the whole Cuban Missile Crisis, nukes on the doorstep. This is getting bad now. People are getting really worried. The president at the time decides he's going to make a bold bet. He's going to take a chance. So, making his long-awaited return to stall it, Mr. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth. No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important for the long-range exploration of space. And none will be so difficult or expensive to accomplish. But why some say the moon? why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
I feel like now that we've heard JFK, I'm getting a little bit hungry for a conspiracy theory. Is it too early to call in one of me Trump cards?
Hang on. Just bear with me for 2 seconds.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, I got something that might feed into...
There's so much time left, Joe. You'll get there. Yeah,
I got something you might like. So, he's under pressure. He goes to his vice president, Johnson, who was a bit of a space nut. He says, how can we win this? Because they needed a PR win. It wasn't just... The actual practical benefits weren't really that important. Because it was all loads of newly independent nations in Africa and Asia in the 60s. And they were all basically going to pick a side between communism and capitalism. And they were really worried. If we don't look like we are the best engineers and scientists, they'll all become...
Communists.
They'll become communists, proxies for Soviets like that. And it'll change the course of human history. So he says, how do we win this? Johnson comes back and goes... Try and go to the moon. Because what the Russians are working on isn't to go to the moon. And it's a totally different challenge. Mm. So if you go off and do that, they have to start again. So basically they were losing 4-0 and said next goal winner. And
scoring 5 goals in 1 goal.
JFK publicly gave it the big one. Space is great. It's this very worthwhile pursuit for the human race and America. Privately, he didn't really give a shit.
JFK?
Yeah, he said to the head of NASA, he's like, well, what's the point?
So what the fuck is he playing at that for?
Because it was politics. He knew it would make him look good and strong and standing up to the Russians and bold and daring.
He had to stick to his word.
A leader. He announces it. At this stage, NASA are okay with it, but they're like, we haven't got the first fucking clue how to actually get there. Like, we haven't got an idea. But fair enough, he says, by the end of the decade, so they've got 8-9 years to do it. So he kind of... starts drifting away from it. He at one point suggests that maybe they do it with the Soviets. And lots of historians now say like he was really going cool in the idea. And then on November 22nd, 1963, on a trip to Dallas, he is on his way to give a speech in which he says, we have regained the initiative in the exploration of outer space, which a lot of people think was him laying the groundwork to just abandon the whole moon mission. Well, he didn't get to make that speech because he was on the way there.
Well, bum whacked, clipped.
Now, would that work for conspiracy theory?
It would.
Did they know he was going to back away?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of money involved in the space race, so killing him would be beneficial to, what's the German fella's name?
Von Braun.
Von Braun.
The Von Braun fella.
It's in his best interest, and he's a Nazi.
I thought we were going to go to CIA. So
he was going to work him with this, well, with NASA or whatever. But yeah.
But if he lives, there's maybe no moon landing. Maybe the next year or so, he does say, "Ah, look, this is costing too much money." Because it's costing a lot of money.
Yeah.
At the height of it, it cost 4% of the national budget.
That was more.
But once he died, and it was one of his most famous speeches, like that was the wish of their fallen leader. There's no way they couldn't do it then. Mm. So
then Stanley Kubrick made Space Odyssey 2001.
Yes, we'll get there. Okay. We'll get there.
Relax now.
Right. I'm jumping ahead.
They weren't the only two thinking about a space race. There was some people in Britain thinking about it, but also Zambia.
Zambia? What?
There was a fellow there. I think he was their leader. I need to check this now. I'm pretty sure he was. He wanted them to do a space program with Afronauts. And
oh, that would be so cool.
I think it was kind of a piss take to a colonialism, and I was kind of taking the piss out of look at all these rich countries, what they're doing. But they spoke about it as if it was serious. 3 years after JFK announces they're going to do it in 1964, a fellow called David Threlfall walks into a bookies, William Hill, in London, and says, what odds will you give me on anyone from Earth or another planet walking on the moon before 1971? He had a tenner. They gave him odds of 1,000 to 1. So this is 3 years after they're supposed to have started.
Wow.
And the bookies are giving 1,000 to 1 that'll happen.
Wow.
Right, so.
What year was that in?
1964.
William Hill.
It's a good bet.
William Hill.
It's a bleeding good bet. Yeah. How did he know? What did he know?
I don't know. He just fancied a flutter.
They get the power play on it.
I don't know.
We should do that with Mars. Do you think we could do it with Mars? You could say, I think someone's going to walk on Mars. I'd go to the bookies.
Go in and say, what odds will you give me for someone in 10 years walking on, well, not walking on Mars. What would, could they walk on Mars?
Yeah.
In some sort of a weird suit?
Space suit, yeah.
And me son playing for Ireland.
In some sort of suit, like as a, like
a, as a double.
As a doubler.
Mm. Doubler.
Mm. In 10 years?
No, 30 years. 30 years.
The odds dropped a lot though.
10 to 1 on that day.
It got down to 150 to 1 for the Americans and 100 to 1 for the Russians. So the bookies still thought the Russians were going to win. Around the same time, NASA did their own analysis and they figured they had a 5% chance and they just didn't tell anybody about that.
That's
they
just
really put that in a drawer chance. And pretended they'd never asked about it.
Wow.
So they start this whole, there's a couple, there's loads. Basically, they would do loads of space flights and each one would do a brand new thing. So they'd start off with the most basic thing and then they'd need new technology each time. The Mercury program, Gemini program. Gemini comes into the Kubrick conspiracy theory, just that word, Gemini. Then it gets to Apollo. There's a couple of dozen astronauts. Average IQ, 141.
Is that good? I don't know what a good IQ score
That's
is.
That's very good, yeah.
Is it?
I think 130 is like...
average?
No, very high.
Is it?
I think 130 is like the level for being very intelligent.
I'd be like 60.
Was that written off? Is the IQ test like been debunked as like it's
never
not
understood
an accurate
that.
Level of intelligence?
I don't know.
Understood how that worked, the IQ.
I'd like to do one. I'd like to do an IQ test.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not right now.
Let's do some IQ tests.
What, right now?
No, we don't have time.
Another time, yeah.
Another time.
Yeah.
Right. So they're doing, and Neil Armstrong and the lads are in the program at this stage and they're doing different flights. Armstrong almost dies on one. But he saves the day. His spaceship starts spinning out of control. They're about to lose consciousness. And he uses a little maneuver that wasn't in the instruction manual. The little thrusters at the side that were for landing. He started firing them and it stopped it spinning. And everyone's like, oh, ah, well done. You're about 5 seconds from dying there and you had the presence of mind to think of that. So
he was on space flights before Apollo 11, yeah?
Yeah, they all were, yeah. They'd all take, there'd be like, they'd be in teams of two and three. Yeah, so at this stage, they're just going up into Earth's orbit.
Right.
So you've got, we'll get to it in a minute, but there's like Earth's orbit and then there's outer space. And they're very different in terms of how difficult they are to get to. Apollo 1, 1967, three astronauts, Ed White, Gus Grissom and Roger Chaffee, are the day before Apollo 1 is supposed to launch, they're doing a little test in the command capsule. Which you'll see behind there, Darren there, little gold bit at the top on our little toy over there. They're just sitting in that and seems there was a loose wire and there's a spark and the cabin was filled with pure oxygen. Huge explosion and they all died. Horrific death, it seems.
This was Apollo 1?
Apollo 1.
Okay.
So
this was them to go to the moon?
This was... this is 1967. They were supposed to be getting pretty close at this stage, at the end of the decade.
This part just test runs.
It's a disaster. Obviously, three are dead. Everyone's like, fuck, are NASA up to? Like,
yeah,
giving them all this money.
It's only Apollo 1, though.
Yeah, but yeah, people were... It was almost the end of it. And they went away and made loads of changes to make things safer and to be really careful about double, triple checking everything. And they were like, right, just give us one more chance. So then they do Apollo 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and each one tests something new. And then they get to Apollo 8, which is the most dangerous of them all.
Ben Affleck in that one.
It's Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Up to this point, they'd only ever gone up to that Earth orbit level. No one had ever gone outside space. And they had an idea, but they didn't really know, like, what happens? Because, and this will come into conspiracies, the radiation, which there is around the Earth. They're like, if you go through that, you're dead. Don't really know. Outer space, what's going to happen to you? Sometimes it's just like, yeah, your brain's just going to stop working once you're out there. It was all unknown. And they weren't planning to do it. 1968, America's in a bad way. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. There's riots all over America. Vietnam War, not going well. They're having a bad year of it. And then they get a tip off the Russians are about to launch a mission to go around the moon and come back. They're not going to land. And the Americans are like, fuck. People
that's,
aren't going to
be way far, way yeah. further than we went.
They're like, people aren't going to be able to tell the difference. Joe Public's going to go, went to the moon, went around it, came back. What's the difference?
I'm they communist now. I'm communist. Yeah,
exactly. Communist left, right and centre if that happens. So they say, right, let's just make this one go to the moon. They're kind of going, okay, that wasn't in the plan. So they've got a few months to prepare. And it's the first time humans ever leave Earth's orbit. Oh. And they're now, I think the Russians might have sent a tortoise just before. Or was it just after? They sent one at some point.
Sending pets.
They did, yeah.
It was like, it was a goldfish. We try a goldfish today. Yeah. Fuck it.
To go there and come back, they had to, you basically, you get outside Earth's orbit and then you fire your rocket engine and it puts you on the trajectory to the moon. It's not like Star Wars, for instance, where like, you know, the spaceship always has the engine on.
Mm.
You fire it and then you let physics do the rest.
Yeah.
And they'd only figured out like 5 years before that there's, in theory, a figure of eight loop between Earth and the moon. Once you fire your rocket at exactly the right time and exactly the right direction, you'll be fine. But obviously no one had tested it. And you're talking to the second. You're aiming at like something 240,000 miles away.
Mm.
And you've kind of got a hit within about 40 miles. And if you miss, you either crash into the moon or you miss the other side and you drift off into space.
That which, would be, which would be Darren's nightmare. Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah.
They'd draw the line for me.
So that's a very real chance for them.
Just drifting forever yeah. and ever.
Yeah.
Oh.
Till you're, well, you die of starvation.
Yeah. They gave the astronauts going up, gave themselves a 1 in 3 chance. So this is the BBC interviewing someone from NASA just before they head off.
Well, Dr. Berry, now the question that everybody wants to know the answer to, if these men do get stuck in lunar orbit, have they got a death pill to take so they can die painlessly?
No, and I suppose somebody bring up the sleeping pills that we have aboard, and there aren't even enough of those to kill anyone, and so we've never felt that such a pill was necessary. The death would normally occur when the oxygen ran out, and when you lost your oxygen, hypoxia, or lack of oxygen, is a very painless death, and so we don't feel any need for anything of that sort.
Ugh.
Mm.
Lack of oxygen is a painless death.
Yeah, you just pass out. Like,
yeah. Gone, yeah.
You pass out. Like, people get hypoxia in Everest, and it's supposed to be a lovely death.
A lovely death.
And then you just, like, you go delirious, and then you just probably fall off the side. No one really knows what happens to you. It's supposed to be nice. I'd like to go that way. If I had a choice.
Hmm.
Wouldn't
yeah. I? Lack of oxygen, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just send me into space. Just, I mean,
I want to risk it.
I feel like you don't need a cyanide pill. Just open a window. Do you know what I mean? And you'd be sucked out, or you'd be squashed, or I don't know what had happened to you in space.
Yeah.
How long was the entire trip? From Earth
8 days.
It was an 8 day trip.
Out and back, yeah. They gave themselves, the astronauts gave themselves a 1 in 3 chance of coming home. One of them had been in Vietnam. He said, I had better odds in Vietnam. But they got in the rocket anyway.
Multiply fighting in Vietnam with going to the moon, man. Do you know what I mean? You got lucky once.
Try how basic it was. At one point, they're out there and one of the astronauts bumps off the control panel and they lose the coordinates.
Jesus.
Now, the computer is very basic in this.
What's this? Is this Apollo 11?
This is Apollo 8.
This is Apollo 8. Okay, sorry.
He has to use the sextant.
The what?
Sextant.
Are you okay with him saying that?
Sextant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Force 3 letters, probably not, but when it continues on as one word, it's fine.
The Johnny Sextant.
Do you ever see like the old like seafarers? They've got, it's like a telescope, but it's got a curved handle and it's to look at the stars.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd have,
they were using that?
They'd have to look out the window and pick a star and then they'd punch into the computer, right? Star or whatever is here. And that would tell the computer where they were. The computer couldn't tell on its own and NASA back on Earth couldn't tell.
Jesus.
Mad.
That's risky.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. But
is that the first time they like wouldn't have gravity then?
No, I think you lose gravity when you're up like, outside the top of Earth's orbit. Yeah, yeah. But it was the first time they were completely out there. Every part of the mission, going around the back of the moon for the first time anyone ever seen that. And then as they come around the far side of the moon.
So Apollo 8 did this?
Yes, it went to the moon and went around, yeah.
The slingshot thing, like around the moon.
Before Russia.
Yeah. Just before the Russian tortoise.
Okay.
I thought Artemis was the first to do that.
No.
Then what the fuck are they? Why are they getting any praise?
Because they hadn't done it in so long, I suppose. Yeah.
So what? Right, go on.
What was it, 50 years in between that?
Fucking nothing back there. You're going back around and... Come on,
fire away.
So as they're coming around...
You'll be coming around the moon when you come.
They come around the back of the moon and they notice for the first time...
Aliens.
No.
Oh, you bloody wish.
Well, first time any human being had seen this. That picture behind you.
Oh, yeah.
That picture is called Earthrise. The Earth rising up over the lunar surface. It's the first full colour picture taken by a person of planet Earth.
But isn't that, I mean, I've heard that's fake.
Sure you have.
Because there's no stars. Where's
the
stars?
Show them your t-shirt.
It's all lies. The gifts.
Well, we'll get into some conspiracies, but I believe the reason there will be no stars is because the camera aperture will be set a particular way that it wouldn't pick up the stars.
Good camera, though.
Very good camera.
Yeah.
Not
as good as an iPhone 17 Pro Max.
I'll tell you, did you ever see the zoom multiplier on that? The fucking see us on Earth from the moon.
No affiliation.
No.
So that's taken from, it looks like it's taken from the moon, from being on the moon and taken off the Earth.
It's actually sideways. It's always shown sideways, but if you tilt it side, they're going around the side of the moon.
Okay.
And it comes up there. Before this, okay, before this picture, there had been one picture of Earth taken by a satellite. And it didn't really show Earth in great detail. It was a bit flat, but also it didn't show Earth in the vast emptiness of space like this one did. So this one's taken kind of from the moon. So you can see Earth in the greater context. And that was the key, because it shows this glowing, colourful ball in the sea of nothingness. So nobody had ever seen Earth like this. And it had a huge impact on people because it was the first time we'd ever seen our own world, our home, in that way. It let people see that, on the one hand, the whole planet is just one tiny part of this much bigger universe, the rest of which is empty, essentially. But also how special the Earth is, I suppose. When that picture gets back, it basically starts the environmental movement. Because a lot of people go, shit. Ugh, nice little planet we've got here.
Protect the planet.
I mean, hang on to it. Yeah, starts Earth Day. Well, it doesn't directly start it, but hugely influences it.
So that was massive then when that hit the media.
Huge.
Like that photo.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's insane. Like,
yeah.
To see that for the first time.
And the thing about this, seeing the picture, Earthrise, they had no idea this was going to happen.
What do you mean?
Nobody in the spaceship or back at NASA had realised
the Earth was going to be there.
That they'd get this view, yeah.
So it was...
the Earth rising up from behind the moon.
Oh.
So it was a total surprise.
So they were like, that's new.
Yeah, are the idiots? What were they expecting?
Oh my God, look at that picture over there. There's the Earth coming up. Wow, is that pretty. Oh, I got it right. Oh, that's a beautiful shot.
They were quite surprised by it.
I bet you it looks smaller in person.
Well, one of them put his thumb on the window and he blocked out the whole Earth.
Yeah.
And he refers to that as one of the moments that, like,
well, that's because,
oh, now I'm changed.
But that's when you close one eye, and like when I'm doing that, your head is like 3 inches. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look.
And when you open two eyes.
Yeah, no, it's the same size as two eyes.
No, but it's easier with one eye because it starts getting blurry.
I think the whole Earth being small is because they're far away.
Like in Father Ted.
Just like Father Ted, yeah. That Earth is small. And it was the first time people bought that the Americans were going to space.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm. They reckon after this, the Russians basically gave up.
Did they?
Not publicly.
Just like,
yeah.
Fuck that. They're up there taking photos now.
Did you see that bleeding photo of the Americans? So bollocks. I'm not going
like
up there.
Looking at the newspaper, oh, bollock.
Yeah, don't know what that meant for the employment chances of space turtles, but I think they reckon after it, like, that was it for them.
Died in vain.
Yeah, because our Saturn V rocket here, which we'll talk about in a second, but that was kind of the game changer. And around the same time, the Russians were trying to build their own giant rocket as well. Their giant rocket blew up. And then, not too long after, the Americans are off taking pictures of the Earth. They're like, ah, fuck this. Pack it in. Not publicly, not officially, but yeah, it seems for them, they realise they're probably beaten.
Do you have the names of the people that were on Apollo 8?
Yeah.
How many people even were? Three, yeah.
Jim Lovell was one. Went around the moon. Then he was in Apollo 13. Played by Tom Hanks. Went around the moon again.
Oh. Huh?
Went around the moon twice. Never landed on that.
Ah, he wanted to die, didn't he?
But there's this thing. It's a theory called the overview effect. That when you see Earth from space, it has a massive changing effect on your personality, your view of everything. And some of them got a bit kooky when they came back. Yeah.
I'd imagine.
It makes all the day-to-day stuff seem pretty petty and had a pretty profound impact. As they're coming around as well, it's Christmas Eve when they take that picture. And they do a little message back to Earth.
Dante's on the way.
And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
This is the book of Genesis.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness.
Isn't the Bible real simple?
They got sued for that.
Did Who they? The fuck sued them?
The atheists of America said, whoa, 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 whoa. This is tax dollars. America's a secular, non-religious country, which by the letter of the law it is. It's not any one religion. And they said, whoa, what's all this Christian stuff doing up there in space? And they got sued.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they won.
I think they won. It spooked NASA good, which came back to, we'll come back in the story later. They didn't want any religion stuff. Loads of the astronauts are very religious.
And JFK was religious.
What are you getting at?
Throw the atheists into that conspiracy theory.
The atheists did it. Release the foils. Please.
So just on Apollo 8 and finishing off, there was 1948, there was a British physicist called Fred Hoyle. He said, once a photograph of the Earth taken from the outside is available, a new idea as powerful as any in history will be let loose.
Go back, sorry. Say that again.
The picture. So there was just a British physicist in the 40s. He wrote, as soon as we have a picture of the Earth taken from outside, a new idea as powerful as any in history will be let loose.
And that idea is that we can go to the moon?
I'd say you're probably looking upon it in the same realm as we used to think the Earth was the centre of the universe.
Yeah.
And then
Galileo.
We're going around the sun, not the other way around, pal.
I think we're off to the side somewhere. Yeah.
And that was that's a fundamental shift in how we see ourselves. And that's what this fella...
So we're not the centre?
Yeah. And when we see ourselves from outside, and like in
you,
that picture...
Darren, you are the centre of the universe.
You are.
You are.
Sometimes I lie in bed at night and meditate me outside of Earth, looking at Earth. And I'm like, nice. That's class.
Just flaunting there.
Well, I'm like wearing a full tracksuit, like...
Yeah, and a hat.
And sometimes I'm wearing a onesie. I'm just like looking at Earth, I'm like, deadly.
And Frank Borman, that's his name. When he came back, he says, he actually says, I don't really think about going to the moon. So the only thing I ever think about is that side of Earth. Right, so Apollo 11, or Apollo 8, is done and dusted. Gone around the moon.
Finito.
And he came back safe and sound.
Came back safe and sound.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. Came back. And then Apollo 9 and 10, they test out the next bit. So this piece in front of us here, this is called a lunar lander. This was not...
Is that what took the photo?
Yep.
That's not what took the photo.
They had a camera on the leg, yeah.
Did it?
There's one of your conspiracies debunked.
Ah, yes. Did it?
Yeah. So Apollo 8 was never going to land on the moon, so they didn't need this little piece of tech. But they had to test that, because once you do need this... We'll explain this with the Saturn V, but it is stored in the very top of the rocket. And it comes out and links up with the command module, and they fly off to the moon, and the rest of the rocket falls away. So
it's
they
such
had
a waste,
to,
isn't it?
Oh, NASA just dumps all rocket all over space.
Yeah.
Oh, we only need this little bit, actually.
Just that little bit there.
All of this is going to go once you're up there.
That little metal bit there is that the lunar module behind you. So all of this.
All of that.
Yeah. How did that get back then?
That's the tiny Do you want to bring that over, actually? Because that's coming into the story now. Darren is now going to fetch the command and service module toy from beside our Earthrise picture.
I'm just going to fetch the command and
service
module toy.
It's walking by itself.
Don't drop that. My son will kill me.
Which was it?
Hand-made. I don't want to talk about it.
That's handmade.
don't talk about it.
I want to get one myself.
Is that scientifically accurate? Like,
yes, it is.
Who owns this?
My kids.
Where'd you get it?
The internet.
Etsy?
No, I think eBay for that one. Because, like I said, I made the silly mistake of showing them the Apollo 11 documentary, which is visually...
Is that open?
Engrossing. No, the top opens, though.
Oh, does it?
Listen. Yeah.
It's a load of M&Ms inside.
That bit in your left hand. The little
detail
cone.
In that.
Yeah. The little bit in your left hand, that cone, that's the only thing that comes back. Everything else.
So all the lads are on that.
Yeah.
And they're going back to Earth like this. Whee.
This is like the Late Late Toy Show for adults.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And tell us, Darren, where did you get this? I got it off Etsy. So I'm just trying to get it back on, Pat. Has to be Pat. Pat was the best, wasn't he?
So Apollo 9.
Will you put that back on?
They go and test the lunar lander just outside in Earth orbit. But they're like, it's the first time they've ever flown it in space. They're like, just make sure we can fly it and connect it back to this bit. And then Apollo 10, they go out to the moon again. And they're allowed to get really close, but they're not allowed to land. I think they very deliberately gave them just enough fuel to go. Because they're like, we're not letting you go out there and go rogue and land. Because they were going to be flying this lunar lander to see if it could fly at the moon.
Okay.
With no atmosphere. And NASA were like, you're getting only just enough petrol. Because
prices are high.
The temptation is going to be high when you're up there to go, just take a little detour.
Want me going on a pure float, lads?
So then...
How would that be tempting? Like, yeah, ours is only up there.
If I hadn't, I'd be like, I need to get back down there now.
Fuck this. Like, do you know what? If I was an astronaut, I'd say, hey, lads, just in case we do run out of petrol, can we just get a really long rope and just like attach it to one of the modules, like, so if we do run out of gas, you can just pull us back down. Would that even work?
Pretty long rope, 240,000 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, just a really long rope.
I'd say someone suggested it at some point.
Okay.
I'd say there's a good chance. They decide Apollo 11, they're going to be the lads who give it a shot.
The amount of Apollos they had. Some amount of Apollos, I'll tell you.
And at, any other names.
At the start, they thought this isn't going to work. Like, eventually we'll get there, but Apollo 11 won't do it. It's too soon.
Getting closer, though.
Getting closer.
What did 9 and 10 do? They had big boots to fill, didn't they? Apollo 8 went around the Earth.
I'm looking at you, Ed, because did I not just explain that? Andrew, did I explain that?
Sorry, I was distracted.
They didn't leave Earth's orbit.
Playing with toys.
9 went up to test out the lunar lander the first time and make sure it could dock with the command module.
And did it work? Did it work?
It did work. And, well, it worked. A few things went wrong, but they were kind of in a hurry. Things will go wrong and they go, ah yeah, but next time it'll be okay. Like the big Saturn V rocket. The first time they flew that, it was a disaster. Bits were falling off. It was shaking everywhere. There was nobody on it. But if there had been, I'm pretty sure they would have been killed. Apollo 8 was the first time people went on it. It was only the third time they'd ever tested it.
All chance.
They just said, oh, look, we've probably done enough.
Once there's a probably involved.
We're NASA. We got some pretty clever people. So, and then Apollo 10 is the one that goes to the moon and takes out the lunar lander for a spin to make sure it can fly in no atmosphere. And then they head back home. But they're not allowed to land.
Okay.
Because that's the next big bit to figure out. Right, we've got a bit to get through. So how about take a little breather? And we'll bring you...
I have a joke.
Do you want to save it for the next episode?
Yep.
Right.
Ooh.
We're going to have...
What a cliffhanger.
I want to open up...
has a joke.
I want to open up with a joke on the next episode. So stick around for that, guys, and let us know in the comments.
Also, the story of how they got to the moon and then how people said they didn't go to the moon.
Yeah, people are going to want to know about the moon landing. Yeah.
Just 5 minutes to the historic launch of the Apollo 11.
It's hard to believe that this is really it.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
An historic day in the history of mankind is now well underway.
Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Oh, boy.
What a moment. Man on the way to the moon.
The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap.
giant leap for mankind.
It'll all work out.
We don't plan these things.
Let it all work out.
And just before we wrap up, just quick credit to Stephen Dwyer, helped out with the research.
Nice, Stephen.
And in terms of sources, use a load, but big one would be the BBC series 13 Minutes to the Moon, which, if you're not sick of hearing about the moon landing, is just an incredible podcast. Just brilliant. And the Apollo 11 documentary.
I'm going to watch that.
Do.
I'm going to watch it with the young fella.
Because there's no interviews and narration, so, you know. But then maybe listen to this as you watch. I don't know. Anyway. All right. See you later.
All the best.